good morning. Heading to Oklahoma to get some hay. And while I'm at it, you're driving down the road reminiscing a little bit and thinking, just about the impact that somebody can have on a lot of people. Not really even knowing they did. And one of the reasons that they had that great impact is because they refused to do what was normal. So, yesterday I got the news that Toby Keith died, as did the rest of America. So he was not a personal friend of mine, never met him, never saw him in concert. Really didn't know that much about him other than he was an Okie. And a lot of great, talented, awesome people from Oklahoma. Now, personally, I think they ought to just combine Texas and Oklahoma and call it Texoma. But it is what it is. So, and I really didn't realize, like, how much I really liked Toby Keith until all of a sudden realized that he wasn't going to make any more music. Because he's dead. So, if he was still alive, it would probably be pretty, you know, would have been a big money day for him yesterday, because I guess his old lady's going to get some money or something. I'm sure people downloaded, purchased, and sought his music all day. So, and it's old news to everybody else. But, here's the thing. When I was a little kid, I wasn't like tiny, but when I was like 10 years old, say, I liked country music. But when I was about 9 or 10, I didn't realize how deeply in love with country music I fell until I was about 9 or 10, and all of a sudden I realized that I loved country music. What I did not realize was I thought that all them country music singers really did have ranches and horses and cows and really were cowboys and you know, all that, like you know, my grandpa and everything else. I just thought, hell, they just like to play guitar and sing, but they still do their ranch work and everything. I didn't realize that they were professional musicians, and most of them lived on booze and cocaine and didn't know what end of a horse the hay went in and what end the shit come out during. A lot of them didn't know that, musicians anyways, politicians, is because, well, usually the hay goes in the front, the horseshit comes out the back. With a lot of them people, the horseshit comes right out the mouth, so. Anyways, I didn't realize that, and I thought George Strait was a badass, because I knew that he roped, and I thought that Randy Travis was awesome, and I remember I watched all these country music people. Now, we didn't have the television channels, you know, at my house, but my grandparents lived right next to us, and so I would walk across the backyard to their place, and you know, I'd walk through the little pasture and through the garden area, and you know, grandpa's little funny farm there. I mean, hell, we had horses and sheep and cows and chickens, and anyways, yeah, so I just went over there, and I would watch country music television, and then back then, I think there was another one called the TNN, the Nashville Network, and I would watch both of those, and because they had country music videos on them, and of course, wintertime, where I grew up in the high mountains of Idaho, was very long and lengthy, so you'd go home, and you know, it'd be snowing like crazy and 3 foot of snow, and there really wasn't much you could do, so you would just go to grandma's house and hang out and watch CMT. And Toby Keith come out with a song that I remember called Should Have Been a Cowboy. And I remember thinking how I would never, ever, ever have to be able to say that. I promised myself then that I would, due to that song of Toby Keith, that I would never ever say I should have been a cowboy. because I was always going to be a cowboy. I just knew it. And I knew that was all I wanted to do and all I wanted to be. And that song with Toby Keith, you know, really, like, just kind of struck me and hit me. Now, do I think it was one of his best songs? No. But it was a good song. Still listen to it, still enjoy it, still remember that feeling every time it comes on. So there you go. And then he had another one, I think, on the same album. I remember the music video. He Ain't Worth Missing. Good song. A little bit sappy, but you know, if you're into that, if you want to be the guy that rescues the damsel in distress and sweeps her off her feet, yeah, that'd be great. You know. But I like the melody of that song. And so this is how I'm attracted to music. The melody catches me. It's not the lyrics. As a matter of fact, there's so many songs out there that have wonderful lyrics. Catchy lyrics. Heartfelt lyrics. But if the melody isn't good, I'm out. That's just me. If I don't like the tune, the beat, the rhythm. I know a lot of people told me I listen to too sad of country music. And I said, well, is how do you do that? And I like the melody. I'm happy to listen to the melody. When I'm sad, I listen to the words. You know, so I'm a big Merle Haggard fan. And the older I get, the bigger fan I become of Merle Haggard. So, little bit of a, most of you probably know this, but I read this yesterday. The last time Merle Haggard did a performance was in Las Vegas, Super Bowl Sunday. I think it was 2017. And he performed several songs. Toby Keith stopped by and saw his friend, Merle Haggard. And I don't know if they were performing together or if Toby just stopped to see him. I don't know. But anyways, Merle did four or five songs and his lungs had give out. He couldn't go on. And he said to Toby, he said, I cannot go on. Do you know some of my songs? Toby said, Merle, I know all your songs. He said, you do? And he said, yeah. He said, could you do some for me? He said, absolutely. And I don't need a teleprompter either. He said, I know all of your songs. And so Toby finished for Merle. Of course, Merle died a few months later. Great guy is what I saw right there. Okay, so, anyways, and then, you know, I started thinking about all the Toby Keith songs that I really liked, and I was riding colts in my barn, and you know, here it is, first part of February, and you know, we're riding two-year-olds, a lot of two-year-olds getting started, and developing, and working every day, so it's that time of year, and I got a box in there, the Bluetooth, that's a DeWalt speaker. Bluetooth box thing, and I just put my phone on the iTunes. Shit, Toby Keith just died. I listen to Toby Keith all day. And, you know that song, How Do You Like Me Now? Badass music video, badass song, funnier than hell. You know, maybe one of them deals you might want to play at your class reunion after you know, maybe nailed some sort of success in your life. Yeah, we won't go into that. So, the other song, You Shouldn't Kiss Me Like This. Okay. So that music video is awesome. Okay. And it's about a pool boy that, you know, daydreams basically about getting it on with this rich lady that he's a pool boy for. And it shows in the video they jump into the swimming pool and she's wearing a swimming suit and the ass end of it's in a thong. And I remember Bodie Keach, my friend when I was growing up, Bodie Keach saw her in a thong. We were 19, 20, 21 years old. I don't know. Anyways, and Bodie just was like, oh, holy crap. He just loved seeing that. And I was like, well, shit, yeah, we all do, brother. Anyways, Yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. So there's what happens in Mexico? Funnier than shit. Funnier than shit. What other songs? I mean, he's got so many good songs. You know, very patriotic. American Soldier, Red, White, and Blue, American Ride, The Crying Song, Does That Blue Moon Ever Shine on You? I mean, you go on and on and on and on, and he's probably got a song to fit everybody and every lifestyle, and he stayed country. And I know he got a little bit honky, and he wore them hats that I didn't agree with. But anyways, that's him. I mean, the people liked it. The guy made millions of dollars, and he did what he wanted to do, and he stayed true to it. And it just kind of made you wonder, how many times did he get told by other people that the music business was hard to break into, that it was a tough cookie to crack, and that maybe he should explore other avenues of making a living? And I don't know any of that. I'm just assuming that somewhere along the way, somebody told him, this is going to be freaking tough, dude. And he didn't. And he stuck to it. And then I can say personally for me, with the should have been a cowboy thing, he didn't inspire me to be a cowboy because I was born one. I wanted to be one my whole life, and I've never wanted to do anything else than what I'm doing today. And so, with that being said, I just remember that feeling that I would never ever promise myself. And I thought, how sad is that? Because what I could think of at that age, whenever that song came out, I don't know how old. So I was born in 1980. So I could have been 10 or 12 or whenever that song came out. I don't know. But anyways, I just remember roughly that time, sitting at my grandmother's house. She had a little TV in the kitchen. And I would sit there and I would watch, I would eat snacks in my grandma's kitchen. And I would just sit there right in front of that little, probably 13-inch TV. And I would watch those country music videos. And usually nobody else was there, you know, other than my grandparents, and they would bother me. I mean, so it was pretty neat, you know. And my grandma thought it was neat that I liked that. And I remember one time my grandparents went on a trip to Nashville, and I gave her like this list, like 18 miles long, of all these country music people that I wanted her to get me an autograph of. Because they were in Nashville, right? And that's Music City, and grandma's going there, and I'm sure they'll run into each other because it, you know, they all sung about small town living. Nashville had to have been small. Yeah, I didn't have no goddamn clue what Nashville really was about, but or how big it was, or that maybe, you know, you might get tackled by a bodyguard if you tried to approach, you know, George Strait or George Jones, or I remember even Garth Brooks. I don't even really like Garth Brooks now, but I remember back then I really liked Garth Brooks. He had some badass shit, you know. Cowboy Bill, great song, awesome song. The Wolves song, that was awesome. I liked, everybody likes the Thunder Rolls, you know. I mean, you know, it's kind of sad that some guy cheated on his wife and his old lady got pissed off and blew him away over it. You know, I guess whatever, you know. Really don't know what to say there. Other than it just was ironic that Garth Brooks sang a song about guy cheating on his wife, and then he ended up banging Trisha Yearwood and ended up with her. I don't know. Maybe some of you are laughing at that. Maybe some of you aren't. But anyways, I don't, you know, I just remember country music. and Toby Keith singing Should Have Been a Cowboy, and me thinking, hey, that was never going to apply to me, but I remember how thinking how sad it was that somewhere, somehow, some middle-aged person was thinking I should have been a cowboy. Because I didn't know any other lifestyle could possibly be any greater. You know, Chris LeDoux, Ian Tyson, awesome. I wouldn't even call them country singers. I would call them Western singers. Because them guys had really lived the life. You know, they were the real deal. You know, Chris LeDoux, Gold Buckle. You know, once you win a Gold Buckle, once you become one of those, literally, like I heard a song yesterday, a country song on the other radio that sang something about a Gold Buckle, and I just went, okay, not every buckle's a Gold Buckle. What we refer to as a Gold Buckle is a world championship. I always knew I'd win a Gold Buckle, and then there was a span there for about 15 years where I went, I don't think I'm ever going to have a Gold Buckle. And then all of a sudden I won a Gold Buckle last year, and I became a world champion in the cutting horse deal, and I can't tell you how complete that made me feel. Like, if I never really went at it real hard again and pursued more of a ranching lifestyle than a professional, you know, horse training and competition lifestyle, I really wouldn't. I mean, I won a world championship. You know, that was great for me. Now, I know some people would say, well, now the trick is if you can stay on top and shit like that. You know, I'm not going to beat myself up over that. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to become one of those. Well, back in the day when I was, I'm not going to become one of those. I damn sure ain't the best. I never was the best. I never have been the best. I stayed ahead of my competition one year and got a Gold Buckle at the end of it. And that was great, but I'm okay with it. I'm actually quite happy with it. So not every buckle's a Gold Buckle, and a lot of those country people don't understand that. Because they're just musicians. Something I didn't understand when I was a kid. Final performance. Don't let the old man in. And I watched a little video that Toby Keith made about that. And he said he talked to Clint Eastwood. And Clint Eastwood was like 88 years old at the time, or 89 years old. And he said, how do you do it? And Clint Eastwood said, I get up and I go outside and I go to work. Making another movie. I think he actually made the song for the movie Cry Macho, I think. Which that's a pretty good show. And he writes the song Don't Let the Old Man In, and Clint Eastwood said, you don't let the old man in. That's how I keep doing it. I'm you know, basically 90 years old. I'm a decade off of 100, and I'm still getting up going to work every day. That guy's got so much money. He blow his nose with $100 bills. I mean, he'll never spend his money. And it's not even about money. It's about accomplishing things. It's about living life to the fullest. And it pisses me off when people turn 65 and they're dead before they're 75 and they work their whole life to retire from something they probably never truly loved, and they don't even get a decade to enjoy retirement. And here Clint Eastwood is. He says, don't let the old man in. And that was Toby Keith's last live performance in December of 2023. He makes the song Don't Let the Old Man In. And it hits me hard because yesterday my son Ethan had to go to town. And he rides a lot of the two-year-olds. And I've started literally probably 2,500, 3,000 head of colts in my life. And the last couple of years, Ethan's been starting all the two-year-olds. And he'll get a month or two on them. And then I kind of take them from him into my program. And I don't ride as many, you know, green, raw, fresh horses like I used to. And to be right honest with you, I kind of felt like I was losing that touch a little bit. And I've always got this joke with people when I tell them there's 40 pounds of meat that's never been on a real bucking horse. And yesterday Ethan was gone, and I had some 2-year-olds to ride, and I thought, well, I'll wait till Ethan gets home, and then I'll help him, I'll saddle him and help him get through them, and I'll ride, you know, one of my older horses and help move him around and stuff. And like, there was a metallic cat colt, son of a metallic cat out of a playgun mare that I just got, and Ethan rode him one time on Monday, and yesterday's Tuesday, it's that horse's turn to be ridden, and Ethan ain't around. And this song comes on, "Don't Let the Old Man In," and I thought, you know what, I'm 43, okay, I'm not 73. There's no goddamn reason in the world that I cannot ride a 2-year-old. I've rode so freaking many of them, it'd scare you to death. Don't let the old man in. And I step on this colt, and he's stingy. He's not really bronky, but he's stingy. Might jump out from under you in 2 seconds if you let him, or a split second. And I just step on him, and I go right back into my old deal, and I felt so good about myself for just doing that. I know some of you that ride a lot of colts are thinking, yeah, you pussy, get going, you know. But it was just one of them deals where I'd kind of been letting the old man in. And I'm not old enough to pass that torch. Now, will my son work with me all the time? Yeah, I hope so. Is my son very, very talented at what he does? Yeah. You know, I probably shouldn't tell anybody this, but I'm very, very proud of my kids. But sometimes I look at Ethan and I just think, you're the perfect son. You know, I'm very, very proud of Porter and whatnot. And, you know, Peyton's got his own strengths and qualities, as does Porter, that are wonderful. But I, for some reason, look at Ethan and I go, you're my perfect son. He's very talented. He had a huge day on Sunday. He won second heading at the Clay Logan Roping in Stephenville. He won second. He was heading for Wesley Thorpe, and then he also won the Roping Healing for Caleb Driggers. So, pretty dang good day. You know, wins first and second, switching ends. Two great world champion NFR ropers. They both told him how talented he was, and it made me super duper proud as a dad. And he's not just a spoiled rich team roper kid that just rides nothing but finished horses. And you know, he's been on a lot of colts. He's done a lot of cowboying with me, and I hope it continues to go. But at the same time, I'm not ready to let the old man in, so I thank Toby Keith for that, because it kind of inspired me once again, the first of his career and at the end of his career, first of all, to make myself that promise that I will never, ever have to say I should have been a cowboy, and then at the end of it, 30 years later, to say, don't let the old man in. And so I just thought I'd do a podcast about music, because I love it. You know, I've always said that, you know, like a steel guitar crying at dusk in the barn alley, as you're doing chores, as you're sweeping the floor, as you're putting your tack away, as you sit there and have a drink and reflect on your day's work while you listen to the horses eat in the barn. Best place to hear a steel guitar over a country radio. That's what I love. That's what I love about country music. You know, and country music's real. Or at least it used to be. You know, I used to sing about having a job, contributing, having a family, going through heartbreaks, cowboying, rodeoing, ranching when the market's bad, the struggles and the trials, because that's what life is. Life is struggles, okay? It's not a highlight reel that we see on social media all the time. We all struggle with shit, no matter what it is. Most people think that money will solve their problems, and it won't. It, trust me, it won't. As a matter of fact, there's nothing else that'll compound it. Now, like my great-grandmother said, my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather, they made a living.
They really did. They made a living. They made a good living. And I grew up next to them. They were born literally in the 1800s, and I lived next to them. They were very, very old when I was a little kid, and they used to babysit me every day, and my grandma used to make me every single day after lunch. She would make me rice pudding and put raisins in it. Both born in the 1890s, and they did very well. My great-grandfather made a fortune during the Great Depression. And how he made a fortune was, he watched his P's and Q's, and he went to work, and he crossed his T's and dotted his I's, and he made a bunch of money in the Great Depression by, you know, buying shit from people with problems. You know, they'd need to sell out, and he'd buy it for less than it was worth and resell it. And my grandma told me one time, she said, you know, Scott, money isn't everything. She told me that. I was very young. 9, 10 years old, maybe. She said, money isn't everything. It sure is tough to get along without. I never forgot that. Because she was right. Money isn't everything, but it sure is tough to get along without. So, anyways, that doesn't have anything to do with country music. It just letting you know that a lot of times country music is about struggles. You know, the old joke, you know, when you play a country song backwards, you get your house back, your wife back, your dog back, truck back. And that's right. That's right, you do. But everybody's been through some shit. Everybody's been through some tales of woe and some tough times, and we all think that we have it the worst. But there's always somebody in worse shape. Toby Keith, I'm sure, is in a better place now. He had a talk that I watched yesterday on faith. He knew he was coming towards the end of his life, and he had an interview, and he said, I have that faith that Jesus paid for my sins, that he died for me. And he said, I'm in a good place, because he knew that his life was not going to be cranked out to over 100 years old. He knew that he was 60-something years old, or young 60s, and he was getting ready to cash in, and now he's in a better place. But you know, in the last couple of months, all that money he had couldn't save him from that stomach cancer, and that's sad. Sorry, wish that wasn't so, but nonetheless, anyways, it couldn't save him. So that's that. But, I mean, God bless Toby Keith, country music. For me, personally, just like I say, the first and the end. You know, from Should Have Been a Cowboy, me promising myself I'd never have to say that. And then, of course, Don't Let the Old Man In, you know. I feel like I still got a good 20 years left in me to ride horses and train horses and do that before I slow it down professionally and just do my own. I'm not ready to cash in. I'm not ready to punch out. I'm not ready to be done. So, yeah. Yeah, there's that. There's that. I hope y'all don't feel like I just ramble on about nothing, because here's a guy that I didn't even know, that I never met. But when I got thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad that guy didn't give up on his dreams. So I guess my real point of this podcast is, don't stop. Don't give up. Don't puss out. If you got something you want to do and it's a worthy cause, do it. And I'm not here to tell you what a worthy cause is, but if it's, you know, selling crack for a living, you might have a talk with yourself or a counselor or, you know, somebody. But if it's selling pornography for a living, yeah, you again might see a priest and have a talk with yourself and a counselor. But if you desire to sell something, build something, make something, and somebody else out there has done it, I promise you, you can do it too. I promise you, you can do it too. So, don't give up. Please don't give up. But also make sure you don't do anything to screw yourself and take that dream away from yourself. So I know so many people that they have this story, I was destined to do this. I was fixing to do this. I was going to school to do this. I was working as an apprentice to do this. And life got in the way and, you know, I got pregnant or my wife got pregnant or had to get married and that just, you know, life got real, you know. I went to, you know, sold my muscle car and bought a minivan and went to the factory and been there ever since, you know, and maybe that turns out okay too, but maybe try some birth control or something, or, you know, when in doubt, shroud your spout, you know, when in heat, package your meat, and make sure that you don't fuck yourself. It's okay to stay clean and sober, even though, everybody might be having a good time with that red Solo cup. It's okay to act like a goofball sometimes, but to really, really live that, maybe you ought to, maybe not try to be the class clown all the time, and don't take those opportunities from yourself so that you can be true to yourself and that you can inspire somebody else, because that's what life's all about. Whether or not you realize it, when you do something great and you stick to what you believe in and you stick to your dreams, you don't really realize it, but you're inspiring somebody somewhere. That's what simple old Toby Keith did for me, you know. I mean, and a million other people, but sad he's gone. And damn sure gonna miss new shit coming out. But I promise you, I will cherish the old stuff. Everything he's put on, from Should Have Been a Cowboy to Don't Let the Old Man In, and everything in between, I will cherish it. So I'm going to let y'all go, because I just pulled into the tire shop, and I've got to get a new tire put on my flatbed trailer so that I can go get a big load of hay and continue to put the hay in the front so the horse shit comes out the back. And, get going. So, anyways, y'all have a good one. God bless. This is Scott Hume from somewhere on the plains of Texas.